You ever wonder what the point of life is? Why we're squatting on this big hunk of space rock that is traveling across the sun, that we're slowly poisoning, and will eventually be consumed by entropy? Oh yeah, that's right, it's to subscribe to fellow artists' Patreons, such as myself, an artist! Patreon.com/MatthewDonnell. There you can find bonus content for both my shows, The Ritwin and Paleobites. For the Paleobites bonus content, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals. And this month, we're talking about... That's right, we're finally doing it! Jurassic Park! The book. The original book from 1990 by Michael Crichton. The one that the movie was based off of. Did you know it was based off a book? I didn't. Of course you did. Link is in the description for where you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support. Have a lovely day. And find your purpose in life. We all need a purpose. Maybe just go out and look at leaves. Smell the roses. Take a long walk on the beach at cool summer night.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast that blows harder than a volcano. My name is Matthew Donald, and each week I'm a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, I'm joined by someone whose type, apparently, is super confident nerds who play D&D. So get in line, nerds. It's Lexi Ryan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
That isn't everything, but that's a good start.
No, I know. I mean,
it's
like
a good
obviously,
start.
Obviously, you know. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, the stereotype is that some people are like, oh, are they hot? And then that's it. But some people are like, no, I like the guys who are really attractive, but not, you know, like not too attractive, like sort of like supermodel attractive, more like conventional attractive, and then just go on. But I like the people who are confident, but not so, I'm not like arrogant, but I like them that it's a little.
I don't have, like, I had a type for a while, but now it's, you know, there are just certain things that do, it range, there's a range.
You know,
there's
I get
a range.
I think I have a range too, but my thing, I've realized I've gone out with a few girls, and the ones that I've gone out with more than once, they all have one very specific thing in common. They have all worked, not just been at, but worked at a Renaissance festival. So clearly that's my type.
It's a fun place.
Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously
there
going...
There are lots of nerds there.
Yeah, but not so... But you have to be a special type of
there
nerd.
There are also a lot... Okay, I'll put this way. There are a lot of Hufflepuffs there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel like all the Gryffindors are like, I'm too cool for the Renaissance.
So, I just... That's where the quirkies are there.
Yeah, no, I get that. So Hufflepuffs are definitely... Or, depending on the Ravenclaw, some Ravenclaws.
Yeah, I mean, some of every... There's a dash of everyone... You know,
I feel like
majority would be Hufflepuff.
Honestly, I could see myself compatible with all of them except for Gryffindors. Yes, even Slytherins I feel like I'm more compatible with than Gryffindors.
See, I think I'm attracted to Gryffindors.
Yeah? Oh, you would be, because of the confidence.
Yeah. I think I'm attracted to Gryffindors. Or some Ravenclaws.
Yeah.
Some Ravenclaws, maybe.
Yeah. Again, it depends on the Ravenclaw. Some Ravenclaws are kind of uppity.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I've got the perfect dinosaur-like question that I think you will definitely be able to answer. This is like one that's like off-the-cuff multiple ones. I'm going to tell you a different species of dinosaur or prehistoric creature, and you're going to say which Hogwarts house, just from what you think, your vibe of what you know of it alone, you think it would go
perfect.
To. Okay. Stegosaurus.
Oh, Stegosaurus is a Hufflepuff.
Okay. Tyrannosaurus.
Tyrannosaurus?
You're thinking either Gryffindor or Slytherin, aren't
you? Yes.
Yeah, so...
I'm going to say Gryffindor. The one I'm thinking of is Gryffindor.
I mean, because, you know, it's your king.
I think Jurassic Park enforced the Gryffindor in that.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like the hero in the end.
Okay, kind of. Velociraptor.
Actually, I'm going to say Ravenclaw. They're smart.
Yeah, it's true. They're smart, but I guess that's... You know what dinosaur I think is as a Slytherin? From what little we've seen of Jurassic World Dominion, which I think as of this episode comes out, it has come out, but it hasn't as of recording it.
I thought it was June.
It is June, so... So
I see what you're saying.
So when this episode comes out, it will have already come out. But from what I can tell from the trailers, the Atrociraptors are total Slytherins.
I don't know what that is, but
It's so cool. I've done an episode on it before, and then, like, before it was even announced to be in Jurassic World Dominion, and then it was announced to be, and I'm like, yay!
Yeah, I would say, like, Slytherin, I would say, is probably, like, some of the water Okay. Type ones.
Okay.
For sure, because I hate them.
Okay, that's true, I guess. Like, okay.
Or like an Ankylosaurus.
Ankylosaurus.
That would be, I think, a Hufflepuff.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm getting
the whole defense thing.
It's so
thing.
Slow and like
but
chunky.
But it's defending. I mean, it's not defending others, it's defending itself.
I think, like,
so.
Bronchiosaurus, I'm getting a Gryffindor vibe.
Bronchiosaurus, yeah, yeah.
What about Triceratops?
Triceratops is Gryffindor 110%.
Okay.
Like, okay, let's see. Pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl.
Sorry, it's a paleontology podcast. Pteranodon.
Pteranodon. Slytherin or Hufflepuff?
Yeah, I could see that. It's like all the kind of like vultures that kind of depict like vulture or like sort of seabirds.
I think Petrie is reinforcing my Hufflepuff. Like,
yeah,
he's like awkward a little
well,
bit.
If you remember have you ever seen the third Jurassic Park? The one where
the kid.
Yeah, I mean they all have kids in them technically.
Yeah, that's the kid from The Genius, the Disney Channel movie.
Yes. Yeah. Oh really? That was him? Whoa!
Yeah, I had a big crush on him when I was
okay.
Kid.
Wow.
Like Harry Potter.
But remember that one? The Pterodons were straight up evil because they went in the.
Oh yeah!
Oh my God! It's a bird cage.
Wait, I don't know if that was the right one.
Yeah, that was the right one. Yeah, they escaped that, but then they were in the foggy sort of bridge,
yeah.
And then Grant was like, "Oh my God, it's a bird cage!" And the
one
was like, "For what?"
It's a cage. It's a bird cage. Yeah, with Billy.
Yeah.
He stole the eggs.
Yeah. So that one, they're Slytherins, but because they're like they're not just like evil, but also like proud, like a T-Rex. No, they're evil, but also like sneaky and like
yeah.
So okay. Like, finally, I'm gonna mix it up a little bit. That giant ground sloth that we did.
Yeah.
Arimotherium. See, I thought I could make it a little bit more difficult.
I'm going to say Hufflepuff for that guy, too.
Yeah. I can see that.
I just feel he's a gentle soul.
Yeah. I mean, it's a solitary beast.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like that's like Hufflepuff. Like,
God, honestly, I could do an entire bonus episode where I just name a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it'd be really funny to, like, get someone who is super, super, super into dinosaurs and is also a huge Harry Potter. So I could be like, Stenonychosaurus!
Brennan Lee Mulligan.
Okay, that's true. He likes dinosaurs?
He's the one who I told you recently that, yeah, he was like, I think the first step of knowing someone's going to be a nerd is dinosaurs. Like, when I was a kid, like, he's the one who said in the podcast, he was like, if you talk to someone and you ask them their favorite dinosaur and they say T-Rex, you're like, psh, you know nothing about dinosaurs.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. So, like, I want someone who I can say all these different species that all end in raptor, but he can come up with a different one every time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Velociraptor, Pirate. Ravenclaw, Pyroraptor, Slytherin.
Yeah.
Like, Signraptor, oh, Gryffindor.
When David gets big enough.
Atrociraptor, Slytherin. You know? So, okay. Sounds good. Well, we're talking... Okay, here's the way I'm going to segue into this. So, and this is a bit of a peek behind the curtain. But we tried to record this episode before, and then I was a dum-dum, and I didn't save the file that we recorded.
You did not.
Yeah, technical difficulty. It was all technical difficulty. Don't blame me, you know. The technical difficulty is within my brain. Forgetting it.
Yes.
Let's say that. But, okay, so from what you remember the last time we recorded, what would you say this Paraceratherium was? What house?
I don't know. I would say...
Not a
Gryffindor.
Not a Gryffindor. Okay. I'm also willing once we get
can
to
we do it at the end?
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't you give an answer now from what you remember, and then let's see if it changes at the
end. I don't remember much.
Okay, it's a giant, giant rhino-like
beast. I remember that, but like, the facts of like when it lived
okay,
and everything, we've done so many of them, I can't remember.
Okay, well that's nice. all right, well, I will ask you at the end, when we rate the creature 1 out of 65 million, I will say, give it your rating and be the sorting hat for it.
Okay, got it.
So... All right, we are talking about Paraceratherium, or nearly hornless beast.
All I remember is I was having a real hard time saying it.
Paraceratherium.
Paraceratherium.
You nailed it. First
try. Last time before, I remember saying that a bunch of times and not getting it right.
Well, because it's like...
Parallelogram.
It's like... Okay, it's something R, something R, something R. Paraceratherium.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Okay. But what is it? Is an intricotherine, a group of large hornless rhinos that are among the largest land mammals of all time. I like how specific that is. Largest land mammals.
It's big.
Yeah, but I just like, it's very specific though. It's like how Andrew Sarkis used to, like this weird wolf thing that we now think was actually more like a big pig. Originally I thought it was the largest mammal carnivore, or just land mammal carnivore.
Right.
It's like, that's too many parameters.
Well, still impressive. It's big.
Yeah.
You know, scary,
like
maybe.
Size, 15 to 17 feet / 4.8 to 5.2 meters high at the shoulder, and 15 to 20 tons. So, for comparison's sake, because I know you like this.
Cars.
Okay. Well, actually, I was rather since this or is stories. A mammal, I'm going to compare this to other big mammals.
Okay.
So, 15 to 17 feet tall at the shoulder, by the way, at the shoulder. So, that, so like, guess. Ignoring its long neck.
Let me guess. Giraffe?
That's about the height of a giraffe total.
Okay.
So, a giraffe... So
it's bigger than that.
Yes, because, like, woo-hoo! This is 15 to 17 feet okay. at the shoulder. So, like, a giraffe... It's a little bit shorter than a giraffe. But a giraffe standing next to this thing... I know, again, I'm holding up my hands.
No, I'm just laughing. My brain is crazy right now. I just thought of shoulder, and then I was like, I wonder what it tastes like, shoulder, like pork shoulder. I wonder if I would eat this animal if it was around.
I mean, honestly, I mean, it probably wouldn't taste
like,
too
like, if
bad.
You had the chance to try dinosaur or...
Depends on the dinosaur.
Not parallelogram.
Yeah.
Or...
Paraceratherium. Paraceratherium, 100%. Although, it depends on the dinosaur, though.
Because I don't know if I would want to try it as much if it was, like, a reptile-y thing, but
you never
not.
Had alligator?
I have, but I didn't like that or rattlesnake as much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, chickens and other stuff, those are modern dinosaurs, so...
They are. Then I eat them all the time. I'm gonna eat it.
Actually, a paleontologist asked... a kid asked a paleontologist, what would happen if I ate T-Rex? What would it taste like? And the paleontologist actually gave a really detailed answer that really shows how horrifying T-Rex was.
I'm very curious, but...
There's a reason, by the way, that we mainly don't eat carnivores. We mainly eat herbivorous creatures. And the reason why is because animals that eat meat have a lot of nutrients in their system that is deadly to us.
Oh, interesting.
Like, if you eat an animal that...
So if I was a cannibal, I could die. But there are people who are cannibals and they...
Well, but they get those weird things on their tongue, though, or like that.
I'm sorry. Cannibals get weird tongue
yes,
infections?
Yes, they get weird. They get like
Matt,
this.
How do you know this?
I've heard this.
We're in my apartment. Get out, you cannibal.
Like, hey, do you see the stuff on my tongue? No, exactly.
I don't know.
I heard it on a podcast. So
creepy.
Hey, people listen to true crime podcasts.
Okay,
there's some
stuff in there. If there's a cannibal out there listening, considering like, maybe I'll eat my neighbor. Just so you know,
you don't want things on your tongue.
It'll taste not so great because of all the toxic nutrients.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, so the point is, this paleontologist said to this kid, from all the meat that this thing has been eating, and think like too much acidity to break down the meat and other stuff, basically, whether the T-Rex eats you or you eat the T-Rex, you die.
Interesting.
So, Paraceratherium. Diet, herbivore. So yeah, you could eat this. It'd probably be fine. It'd be a lot of meat. Time, early to late Oligocene. So 34 to 23 million years ago.
Okay.
So, again, because you like comparisons. So the dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. This is the beginning of the latter half of when the dinosaurs died to now. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is closer to us than the dinosaurs' extinction, but barely closer.
Okay.
So, location? Wow, this is... repeated from the Homo erectus episode, all throughout Eurasia. That's not intentional.
Well.
We just like all throughout Eurasian
apparently
things.
Apparently, Eurasian things are...
Yeah. When I think of Eurasia, like, rather than just, like, Europe or Asia, I think of Genghis Khan.
I think of food. Not Eurasian food.
Well, okay, what is Eurasian food?
It's an... I don't know.
Mongolian barbecue because of the Genghis
Maybe,
Khan thing?
It's all specific.
Yeah. So. Anyways, describe 1911, pop culture appearances, the TV documentaries Age of Mammals, Walking with Beasts, and Life After Dinosaurs, the video game Ark Survival Evolved, Jurassic Park Builder, Jurassic World the Game, and apparently it's a boss in the arcade game Big Buck Wild HD, one of those hunt arcade games I never played because they involve shooting deer and other nice stuff, and I'm not a hunter in any way.
Yeah. I think I've played one of those when I was probably overserved, as my mother would say.
Yeah, but hey, good on them for having an extinct animal in it for some reason. that's totally what you would do if it's actually alive, re-extinct
them. This is why it's extinct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, so, in the middle part of the Age of Mammals, aka the Cenozoic, aka the era we're still in, mammals were all trying to fill each other's niches and seeing what stuck. Elephants were trying to be hippos, horses were trying to be gorillas, whales were trying to be pigs, and rhinos were trying to be giraffes. The horses being gorillas thing is the strangest thing to me. I think the last time I recorded this, I showed you a picture of Calicotherium, the horse that walked like a gorilla. It's weird looking, right?
Yeah, it was.
It's weird. Shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
No. Creepy. Horses, you have your niche. Gorillas, you have your niche. Don't intermingle.
Creepy, yeah. And gorillas are even more man-like, and it's just creepy.
Yeah. Alright, so, anyways, what we're talking about today is the latter one, the rhinos trying to be giraffes. These guys were enormous, among the biggest land mammals of all time. Their taxonomic history, though, is interesting. It's taken a lot of time to develop over the last century. See, these fossils were uncovered throughout the early 20th century by separate Western, Soviet, and Chinese teams who made independent studies in their respective languages. Politics and wars kept these scientists from comparing their finds and getting a more complete picture of these animals, because if there's one thing you can always count on man to do, it's hate each other.
Yes.
You get two factions of people.
Absolutely.
Get two factions of people, one of them's going to hate the other.
Like, forever and ever.
Like, it's even like, you know, you got like countries or races or something as benign as Star Wars fans versus Star Trek fans. Yes. There's always got to be cliques.
Star Trek.
You're a Trekkie over Star Wars?
Yeah.
I feel like a bad nerd that I don't really care about either.
But if I don't really care about Star Wars. I don't care much about Star Trek.
But yeah, but like, see, I guess I'm kind of like you, but in the opposite end. Like, I am different about both, but if you pointed a gun to my head and told me to pick one, I'd probably pick Star Wars. That's because I grew up with it.
I've actually done a lot more work with Star Wars, like, analyzing it just in creative writing classes and throughout middle school camp, and then, like, I wrote a 30-page paper in
the class that we met in, yeah. So I remember
about,
you really wanted to do...
About the archetypes in that. Yeah, I wanted to do Harry Potter. You really he was like, it's too long, Dr. whatever,
Worley. Yeah, Dr. Worley.
Mr.
Yeah.
Worley. Good evening. What is it he said every time? Good evening, class. And we had to go, good evening, Mr.
That's right, Worley. I remember that.
And then if we didn't, he would go, let's try that again. He had a different cane, different double-breasted little, like...
Yes. He looked a lot like John Hammond from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Like...
The island. Yeah, it's 100% that man. He had the cane and the big ring.
Yeah. Anyways, I have no idea where I was right here, so...
Dinosaurs. Paracerelogram. I was closer.
The first half was spot on. The second half, you went all over the place.
Paracerulium.
Paracerathereum.
Damn it. Sorry.
That's okay. All right. So, one of the more famous expeditions was by American explorer and adventurer Roy Chapman Andrews, who was noted by the creators of Indiana Jones to be one of their major sources of inspiration for that character. Andrews found numerous remains of this creature, including a nearly complete skull, but his expedition was only one of many. These finds have been labeled under the genus names Paracerotherium, Baluchitherium, Acerotherium, and most famously, Indricotherium.
Yeah, I'm not going to try and say any of the other ones.
Yeah. Indricotherium, I bet you could say.
Indricotherium.
Bam. Okay. Yeah. Okay, named after the Indric beast of Russian folklore. I wonder if it's similar to, like, Baba Yaga. I know it's not quite Russian, but it's Slavic.
Nope. I don't know. Nope. That sounds familiar, but Baba Yaga? I've heard this before, but I don't...
She's like
know.
An old witch with, like, a pot.
She's the one who has the noodles in her pot?
I guess.
Makes all the noodles?
She also has a house that walks with chicken legs.
What's the noodle one?
I think she might have noodles in
her. The lady who has the pot that won't stop making noodles?
That might be her. I mean, look, Baba Yaga.
There's a story. Yeah. That's a story. Like, that's how it's relevant. That's a story I know.
Like, the lady that has too many noodles.
Becomes a problem because the whole town's like, too many noodles. Like, they're going everywhere.
Can't stop making noodles.
Yeah.
Put them in my house.
It was like Italian named or something. I'm going to have to Google this later.
Okay. The noodle lady.
The never-ending noodle pot.
Okay. When I think of never-ending noodle, I think of just one noodle that just goes on.
I mean, it's many. It's a pot that just...
Alright. For a long time, all these creatures were put under the genus name Indricotherium, and even to this day, this family of creatures are commonly known as Indricotheres. However, in 1989, a team of American scientists published a revision of all this messy Indricothere taxonomy, and concluded that the oldest named species, Paracerotherium, was the only valid genus of Indricothere from this time and place, which is still to this day what most scientists follow. What a mess. Paleontology is a mess sometimes.
It's doing stuff that has to do with things that are long dead.
Until we have a time machine, it will be putting together a puzzle that will always have pieces missing.
Yeah.
And that is super frustrating.
It's cool.
Like, it's cool that we'll always learn so much, but it'll eventually come to a point where we just have no more to learn and no more to... knowledge to get,
and at that point we'll have invented time travel.
Well, no, the thing is, like, well, if we have an invented time travel, if we get to that point, we'll just be forever stuck with this incomplete book. As for the creature itself, scientists have often wondered why rhinos got so big and giraffe-like like this. Obviously, it's beneficial for reaching the tops of the trees, but another reason might be to keep itself from overheating. One of the reasons mammals don't get as big as dinosaurs is due to their endothermic nature. The bigger they get, the more body heat they emit, and much the more food they need to survive.
The bigger they die.
Yeah. Mammals, though, are fully endothermic, and what's more, Paracerotherium lived in a hot and desert and scrubland-esque environment, so some have suggested it had large elephant-like ears to radiate excess heat, but most scientists are skeptical of this due to the lack of evidence for the acquired muscles on the skull. Presumably, though, their long necks and legs helped more with the radiating heat. So that's why they looked kind of giraffe-like, mm-hmm. but still thicker than a giraffe. Although it's kind of funny, you remember when we did the giant ground sloth episode, and I told you that, like, the giant ground sloths, even though they're often depicted with hair, were probably hairless because they lived in a tropical environment, but...
Yeah, it'd be too hot.
They'd be too hot, and they'd be too big. So therefore, mm-hmm. if they were that big, sort of like an elephant, it has hair, but it's very little, so it's more just thick skin. But then I heard a counter-argument...
Okay.
That, like, said why they could have been hairy. Well, a couple reasons. One, there have been some species of giant ground sloth where we actually have found hair of them, and it's pretty shaggy. Now, not all of them, but the ones, like, in the jungle specifically. When something is warm-blooded or cold-blooded, again, like, so much of science, including gender and, like, the autism spectrum, it's all spectrum. Mm-hmm. So you're not just warm-blooded or cold-blooded. So while a sloth, and this is true of modern sloths as well, are warm-blooded, they're far more cold-blooded than most other warm-blooded creatures. That's one of the reasons why they're so slow. So therefore, they wouldn't generate as much body heat, and thus they might need that hair.
Okay.
So that's the counter-argument I heard.
I would say, I'm just inclined to believe it if they found it.
Yeah, I mean, but again, that's that species. Mm. So, apparently 20 tons, the largest size of Paraceratheria, might be the maximum weight possible for land mammals, meaning this is as big as they could possibly get. And one thing I've mentioned before about mammals, and not as well as being, like, generating way more body heat than dinosaurs, they also are a lot denser. So, like, the Mumakil, or the Oliphants from Lord of the Rings. If those were real, the size they are depicted in... the movies.
Yeah, it's so big.
It is enormous. Yeah. That is like the height of a long-necked dinosaur.
Yeah, like a baby one, maybe.
Yeah. That would be probably upwards of 500 tons.
Yeah, and Legolas still took it all down.
Yeah. Like, as tall as it is and how dense it must be. I mean, obviously it's fantasy, but like... So that would be like 500 tons, and it would just be... It would be too big.
Right.
So, although in the books, I think that he said that they're described as prehistoric elephant size. So about the size of mammoths. Yeah. So not as big as they're on the movie. Yeah, the Oliphant.
Timothy. The Oliphant. Timothy Oliphant.
I always think that whenever I hear Timothy Oliphant.
Do you?
Yes. Yeah. No one's ever going to believe this.
No one back home will ever believe this.
But that's basically Paraceratherium. It's really big. And it's like it is. So now that with all this information and hearing its messy taxonomic history and how it might have used the heat... Like, radiated the heat. What Hogwarts house do you think this was
saying
now?
How big was its brain?
Probably not very big.
I was going to say Ravenclaw, but then I was like, it's big, so it's probably dumb.
Why, because of elephants? Because elephants are smart?
No, I was just thinking it's big, so it's probably dumb, which might be stupid.
So
itself.
I mean, Gryffindors can be stupid. I mean...
Yeah, but like...
Because, like, it's Gryffindor's all about bravery.
I guess here's a question that we may not want to ask ourselves, but we should anyway.
Is good dumb?
No. Which house is the dumbest? I thought of Hufflepuff, and then I thought, no, because I think there's a lot of, like, savant, very specific, like, no. And then I immediately was like, oh, it's Gryffindor.
I think it is Gryffindor, because of the jocks.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's not like, I know some very intelligent people who are Gryffindor, but I think this is, I love that I'm realizing this. Like, it makes me feel even better that I'm not a Gryffindor. But yeah, I just feel like they're so confident, and there's a lot going on, and they're kind of the center of everything. And
they're kind of himbos.
But then... Yeah, and it's not like I think they're the dumb, but if I had to pick the dumbest, I think I might pick
Gryffindor. Yeah, because I don't think a lot of people would pick Hufflepuff. Like, no, you have a really
convincing
argument.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Argument.
I think outsiders would pick Hufflepuff.
Okay, here's...
And Hufflepuffs would be like, absolutely not, bitch. I am smart.
Why in the world are Crab and Goyle Slytherins?
Well, they're...
They're dumb as hell.
Yeah, they're not very cunning. They don't meet that. Like they don't meet that criteria, for sure. Maybe it's just because it sensed the evil...
Yeah, especially considering the actors, of one of them.
But Salazar Slytherin did have preferences that we can't ignore, and that might have stayed true to the Slytherin name to this day.
That's true. I do know some very nice Slytherins, though.
I had a choice between Slytherin and Hufflepuff.
Really?
Yes, on Pottermore.
Really?
On the official website.
It gives you a tie.
Because you've taken the official test.
Yeah, but I didn't know it could give you a tie.
It gave me two.
Wow.
And I remember it was in my sorority house, and I sat there, and I was like, oh, and I waited like 2 days. And
really?
And then I chose.
What's Slytherin about? I guess you are pretty cunning. Like, yeah. You are wearing all black right now.
I mean, I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Technically, all the people at Hogwarts wear a lot of black.
I guess that's what they were all. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, anyways. All right, well, now that we've rated it. Well, no, we haven't rated it. We gave it a house. We know we didn't give it a house. I'm going backtrack like crazy. What is the house? Oh, you said Gryffindor, right?
I think it is Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I originally said no Gryffindor, but now I'm going to say yeah.
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 Gryffindor. Makes sense.
Unless I meant a mean one, and then I think, yeah, I would put it in
Slytherin. I mean, it's got Rhino in it. Rhinos can be mean.
Aggressive, but I feel like aggressive is almost even more of a Gryffindor trait than that's it is true. A Slytherin. It's just not bad aggressive. Hey, just like...
You think you can score that quaffle in that thing there without me saying that? Yeah.
Huh? Or I just think, like, go-getters.
Yeah.
Like, you know? So,
yeah. Oliver Wood types. All right, so now that we've given it a house officially, let's rate it. Big rhino thing, but like not a quite a rhino, like rhino giraffe thing.
Give it an even like 35 mil.
35 mil, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at MatchD@MatthewDonaldCreator.com for any general questions to either co-host. You can follow me on social media at MatthewDonaldCreator on Facebook, at MatthewDonald64 on Twitter, at MatthewDonald64 on Instagram. Lexi, where can they find you?
LexiTate44 on Instagram.
She does like polls about what movies she's going to watch. Let's see, what is a movie we can make her watch, listeners?
Maybe I put two up there, and then you can vote on them.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you care, I'll talk about them as I watch them.
I have a book series in the Amazon Megazoic available for print and Kindle. Once again, none of this, because this is in the Cenozoic and is called Megazoic, which means it's in the Mesozoic era. So not that right era. I also have another podcast called The Ritwits, where two twits talk about writing. Matt Seibert's on that. He's all right. No, he's pretty good. He's my best friend, although he's lately driven me crazy lately. That's what happens when you're friends with someone for so long. You're like, man, I would take a bullet for you in a heartbeat, but you are driving me insane. he's great, though. I love him. He's my brother. All right, that's it for this week. As I say at the end of every episode of Paleo Bites,
I don't know how to make a noise like